If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
What chance do we have? The question is, what choice? Run, hide, plead for mercy, scatter your forces. You give way to an enemy this evil with this much power, and you condemn the galaxy to an eternity of submission. The time to fight is now!
This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Got a new episode every week, but this episode is special because we're going to talk about the new Star Wars story, Rogue One only. So we're going to do our reactions to the new Star Wars story and what we think of their new approach to doing Star Wars movies. Be sure to get the Ho on the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also find us on iTunes, where reviews are appreciated, your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Stitcher. Reviews are really appreciated, guys. If you've got a minute, just please hop on over to iTunes or Google Play or whatever and leave a review of the show. It really does help our podcast out, and we're greatly appreciative of those. Please share the show on your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever it is. Please tell all your friends that you like The Hollywood Outsider. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, what's going on, my young Padawan?
And John Davenport.
I am your mother's uncle's brother's sister's cousin's first roommate. How are you?
Is that the new spinoff? I would watch that, actually.
Actually, that was a quote from Spaceballs.
But... Was it? Oh, man. I'm showing my age is what I'm doing.
What does that make us?
Old.
Absolutely nothing. And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
And I've triggered the...
Yeah, good job.
Spaceballs.
May the Schwartz be with you.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Here's how we're going to do it if you've never listened to one of our reactions casts. We're going to talk about our quick spoiler-free reviews of the movie before we actually get into our spoilery section. But I do want to ask you guys, without spoiling any of the movies, how was your reaction to actually going to the theater and experiencing this? Because this is a completely different experience than the saga movies, which is what they're calling them.
Well, leading up to it, it was kind of an interesting experience just because I feel like the hype for this movie wasn't nearly as big as Force Awakens. I mean, I was, even me personally, I was chomping at the bit. I was at the theater 3 hours early for Force Awakens, and I, you know, worried about getting a seat, and there were people dressed up in the theater, and there was lightsaber fights in the under the screen while the movie was waiting to get started and all that. And this one, you know, I showed up probably about an hour and 15 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And I was excited. I was like, yeah, all right, I can't believe I'm seeing a Star Wars movie again. It hasn't been that long that I'm used to waiting. And there was nobody in the theater that early. I was really surprised. I mean, it started filling up after, as we got to like a half an hour to the movie, but it wasn't, there wasn't like the electricity in the air that there was waiting for the last one, or even episode three. It just wasn't there. And I mean, there were tons of trailers and everything, but I feel like people just overall, or generally speaking, were just like, yeah, we're ready for it, but we're not amped. I don't know if that's just my perception or not. What did you think, John?
I think it might be your perception because my feeds all day Thursday were lit up like a Christmas tree with nothing but Rogue One. And yeah. And as far as my theater experience goes, I go to the hoity-toity theater, so nobody there is goofing off and playing with lightsabers or anything else like that. They're all getting drunk and getting partied up before the movie starts. So. But it was, I mean, most of the people that I saw in the theater, they were pretty charged to be there, as much as hoity-toity people who can afford to go there would be. So, I'm going to go off primarily my feeds experience, which is it was crammed with nothing but how wonderful that movie is going to be. So, so I disagree.
I went to the same theater, Scott, and I see it different. I saw a lot of kids in the lobby dressed like Jedi, which that's my favorite part of even going to a Star Wars movie, is just seeing that. I saw adults dressed like Jedi. That's not as cool. It's almost creepy, but it's kind of cool.
But it's not creepy that you like seeing children at the theater?
Well, oh my God. You just made it wrong, Scott. Good job. especially with their lightsabers. No, so it's
oh boy.
It's a really cool event. to see, and to see all these people and families, and you see, it's one of those movies where I don't often see entire families going to a movie. It's usually like mom and kid or dad and kid or something like that. This is like grandparents and children and parents and uncles and cousins. And I mean, everybody goes together. It's just a great thing to see. And I think maybe you just got there really, really early, Scott. But
maybe
if you're out in the lobby after that, I mean, it got closer because they had so many showings. It really That's started fair. To buzz.
I got there really early, and so I didn't see any of the kids that you were talking about. So, because I don't think any of them were in our theater, were they?
No, I think I saw one in our theater, but the 7:10, they had like a 7:10 or 7:15 show that was right after ours. That one had like 15 of them, because I saw them all rolling in there. It was almost like they had a little Jedi cult going in there. It was actually pretty fantastic. Yeah.
Well, apparently the popcorn thieves were in full force.
Oh my god!
Tell your popcorn story before we get into the movie.
My wife went to get popcorn and a drink, and you know, at our theater, it's like $15 for like a large popcorn and a large soda. And she comes back and just like huffs down, sits in her seats and puts down a pop in the little cup holder, and says, "Here you go. Here's your $15 beverage." And I'm like, "Well, where's the popcorn?" She's like, "Somebody stole it." She buttered up the popcorn, set it down on the counter near the drink kiosk, and went to fill up her drink and turned around, and someone had taken her entire tub of popcorn. Like, just swiped it. Ooh, who animals. Does that?
Popcorn thieves? Animals. Elves?
Drives me crazy. Like,
Well, let's get into the movie. Jyn Erso is a rebellion soldier and criminal about to experience her biggest challenge yet when Mon Mothma sets her off on a mission to steal the plans for the Death Star. They mentioned this in the opening crawl, which they don't have in this movie, to A New Hope. With help from the Rebels, a Master Swordsman, and non-allied forces, Jyn is in for something bigger than she thinks. That's basically the IMDb description. So what's your spoiler-free review before we get into everything we loved or didn't love about it, Scott?
I enjoyed Rogue One more as a sidestep from the saga films, but it didn't quite land as high as the originals or Force Awakens for me. It had a really slow start to me. A lot of forced fan service, a little bit too much, and some of the moments really made me roll my eyes. But I still had a lot of fun with it. So if $10 were the full price of admission, I would give it I would give it $7.
I also had a lot of fun with it. I really enjoyed how they started off the movie versus how the rest of the saga films are started off. I like the idea that we were getting they started the movie with a background on who our main characters are, and overall, I love most of the feeling of it. It's got a nice little tension to it throughout that makes you really worry about who you're working with in this movie. It was a lot of fun too, and the visuals were just phenomenal. If $10 full price, $7.50 for me.
I enjoyed it, but apparently, according to Star Wars fans, I didn't love it enough. Apparently, there's some kind of rule that you have to like it so much. I thought the pacing was really off. The first 45 minutes were really rough for me, and then it finally started getting good. If $10 full price for admission, I would give it $6.50, and I'm being generous. Like, I was really thinking $6, but I feel like $6.50, because the end is pretty spectacular.
Well, and to your point, Aaron, $6.50 and $7, and even $7.50, those aren't bad scores. I mean, John liked it better than we did, obviously, but that's still like a good movie. It still is going to crack my top 10.
Oh, no, Scott, because according to fans, I am a bad fan if I didn't like it more than that. I didn't love it enough. I had issues with it. You can't have issues with Star Wars. It's fantastic and immortal. That's what I get.
I'm having flashbacks to episode 3 when we had the same conversation.
Oh, my. Ew, that sounds scary. As a card-carrying, tattoo-holding Star Wars fan, it's great. It's not amazing by any manner, but it is a great movie. So, I mean, I think it's fair to grade it however you want to grade it, because that's what the world's all about, right, guys?
Yeah, except it's not a great movie. All right, so let's go into spoilers. We're opening it up. If you have not seen the movie and you don't want to be spoiled, come back later and we'll listen then. But right now, we're getting into it. So let's open it up. Some are saying that this is the best Star Wars movie since Empire Strikes Back. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment?
I completely disagree. There's no way that this is better than Return of the Jedi or Force Awakens. I just can't even get behind that. I mean, is it better than the prequels? Sure. I liked it even better than Episode 3, but better than The Force Awakens, there's no way. Absolutely no way. Jedi was a more fun movie to me. It was, the pacing was better. Ewoks be damned. That still was a lot of fun all the way through. Whereas this one was fun in the last act. So I'm not going to say it's better than Jedi or Force Awakens by a long shot.
Yeah, but the question was Empire.
No, since Empire. He's saying because, yeah, no, he's right. Because he's saying right, since Empire.
I know.
It's definitely not better than Empire. That's like the standard, right?
Yeah, by a lot of people. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's definitely the one George Lucas is least involved with. Which is kind of funny. John, what about you? You think it's the best since Empire?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's the best since Empire. The thing for me is that I think saying it's better than this or better than that is just way too much to say. Try to say that. I like to try to put it into a mood and tone kind of thing. Does it have the same kind of mood and tone as Empire does? Yes. Where it's kind of dark. It sets you off at the point because the good guys don't necessarily win in this. There's a lot of hurt in this movie. So I don't want to say it's better than Empire, but I can see why everyone wants to compare it to it.
Do you guys wonder? Okay, not wonder because I know it's true. Do you think people just get on the Star Wars hype train, they get a little excited, and they start making proclamations? I've heard this about every Star Wars movie, including Phantom Menace, since Episode 1, that this is the best movie since Empire. Every single one, I've heard that. So I
think that happens all the time, and it makes me crazy. And that's one of the things I fight against the most. I don't want to get into that frame of mind where something comes out, it has to be the best thing. Why can't you just enjoy it for what it is? Why can't you just take it and be like, this was good?
That's completely fair, and I think that there are elements of each movie since Empire that have been better. There are some things. I mean, the technology alone has gotten incrementally better with each film. But to say that the whole movie is better is silly to me. I mean, Phantom Menace was, people were saying it was the best because it was the first one they had seen in however many years. What was it?
Yeah.
15, 20 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clone Wars just had some awesome battles that just looked visually amazing. And then Episode 3, you finally see Vader's transformation. I mean, that there are elements that are awesome and very cool. This one had the same thing, but to say the whole movie as the whole, to me is, you know, tell me that in 6 months after you're watching it again on DVD. Yeah. and see if you feel the same way.
It's hyperbolic is what it is. And I think we all get caught up in that and whatever we love and worship. It happens all the time. Perfectly fine.
All the time. Happens in Marvel with Marvel movies all the time. Happens with.
No, never. Never. They don't always tell me that the most recent one is the best one ever. That was sarcasm.
Oh, okay. I was just checking.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Well, you know what? Regardless, we like the movie. Varying degrees, but we like the movie. So how does this one compare to the saga films for you with tone and flow and everything else?
I think it's with tone and flow, it has a lot in common with Empire, where it's in tone, it is darker, much like Empire is. Flow of it, there's a lot more of a storytelling element, kind of how Empire does that with, you know, telling you about what, you know, Han and Leia running away. Then you have Luke on Dagobah, and just the tone of that is kind of similar to this movie, because you go through that moment where you have to go get Jyn, and then Jyn's got to go and do her thing and find, I can't remember what Forrest Whitaker's character is, but she's got to go find him. But she... You know, the thing for me is that there was a sadness about that first part of the movie that I didn't really enjoy. So yeah, in tone for me, I can see why people keep comparing this to Empire, because there are a lot of similarities in tone and pacing to Empire.
I will agree with you that the tone is most similar to Empire, but still at the end of the day, and this is kind of one of my bigger issues of this movie, is that overall it just didn't feel like a Star Wars movie to me in tone. I mean, and I get it. That's kind of what they were going for. They're, you know, that's why they didn't have the title crawl at the beginning. That's why they didn't use the same soundtrack. That's why all these reasons is they wanted it to set apart from the Star Wars universe. But at the end of the day, it really felt like a completely different universe that just happened to have some Star Wars references in it, lots of Star Wars references in it. And as far as flow, man, that beginning, you already said it at the top here, Aaron, it took its sweet time getting going.
It did take its sweet time. And you know what? Why is no one hiding in the rock hatch? Why didn't they all just run for that awesome rock hatch? Why? Somebody explain that to me.
I don't know why her mom turned around and went back. That didn't make any sense.
Well, I'm going to take on the entire empire right here in this field, this open field, you dumb woman.
You know what? I'm just a housewife. Let me just go up against highly trained stormtroopers. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Come on, they're stormtroopers. They're not highly trained. They shoot themselves in the toe all the time.
they probably would have hit Jin before they would have hit the mom.
Well, these stormtroopers were black.
Wow. What happened?
No, he means the armor.
I thought we went to a different level. I'm like, hey, this isn't that kind of show, man.
No, Finn's a long way off, man.
it really bugged me. Like, really bugged me. Because, and I know it's stupid, and some people are like, well, you're just overthinking it. No, I'm not overthinking it. They had this awesome hatch that was completely hidden, and I know, well, they're going to keep searching for him, blah, 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 blah. They still went searching for the kid, so it's not like... There were always going to be searches. So why wouldn't they just drop down in that cool ass rock hatch instead of?
They knew that Jin was still there. They knew that he had a kid, and they eventually stopped looking.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
it was one of those things where I know. Look, for the movie to work, it has to happen. I get that. I'm totally understanding of that. But it really bugged me because it just seemed like a dumb plot point that could have easily been rectified a different way. I don't know how that would be, but I know that when you have a cool ass looking rock hatch hiding spot, you would probably run there first and just give it a shot.
Cut to Aaron digging a rock hatch of his very own in his backyard just to have one.
Aaron's already done it. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Plus, just the fact that she would leave the kid to go help. I mean, what does she think she's going to do? And she's basically going to leave this kid on her own. Like, she's risking leaving that kid on her own. I have a hard time believing that a parent would do that.
Housewives are the most kick-ass thing in the world. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but moms generally don't abandon their children to go take on the empire, you know, who kind of wins. They generally just win. So
hey, speaking of, what was the point of I can't remember the character's name, played by Mendelsohn. He got shot in the shoulder by her.
Mm-hmm. At one point? That was Krennic. Krennic was his name.
Krennic.
Yeah, Orson. Orson
Krennic. It seemed like that would have been played up a little bit more. Like, what was the purpose of him, you know, getting shot? They never played up on that. He wasn't, like, injured. You never saw him have an issue with it later on. Why was that necessary?
That was probably to show that she's not completely incompetent.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what got, too.
So she's better than a stormtrooper?
Yeah, exactly. Better than a stormtrooper. apparently, it doesn't have that maternal instinct, but other than that, she's a fairly decent shot, although I wish she would have a little bit more centered, but what are you going to do? In terms of the saga films and tone and flow, I really had – it's not – see, this is why everybody keeps saying I'm hating on the movie, because I had issues with it. Not starting with the Star Wars – ta-da! Really bugged me. Like, really bugged me. The crawl I'm okay with, I guess. I mean, I think it should have been there. I just think it's one of those things. It's a staple. I realize they don't want to have the crawl because of the saga films. They want to keep it separate and special and unique, and that's fine. You're a special snowflake. I get it. But that opening...
It pumps you up, man.
It does. It gets you in that Star Wars vibe. It really does. We've been Pavlovian response. We've been conditioned that when that comes on, this is a Star Wars movie. And instead,
you know what, what hit me for that, though, is the long, long time ago in a galaxy far away.
And then not having the, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seeing that in blue on the screen, that's where I get pumped up. That's why I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go.
No, mine's when I hear that, da-da! That's...
Yeah, it's the same. Like you ever listen to a music album and, like, when a song finishes and you like, instantly hear the next song in your head?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same response I get when I see those blue letters of, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You just wait for it and you just know it's coming. And then it doesn't come, and like, that's all I can focus on for the next few minutes is that I didn't have it.
Yeah, and I know that's my problem.
That's what she said.
But I think it's a fair problem. I really do. I really do. John, we acknowledge your joke. But the point was more valid.
You didn't have to.
Okay, so how do you think, how do you feel about this film and how it connects to A New Hope? Because this directly, and by the way, some people were saying that this was completely separate. It's like a standalone movie. I don't think it stands alone at all. I think there's so many connections to A New Hope, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Necessary, but it definitely doesn't stand alone. But how do you think it connects to A New Hope, Scott?
This is definitely a strong point of the film for me. I actually really appreciated how they tied it all together. We saw some characters, as goofy as they might have looked, saw some familiar characters from A New Hope. This was a nice change from the complaints a lot of people had about The Force Awakens being, you know, a rehash of A New Hope. It's, you know, basically the same story, which, let's be honest, it kind of was. Mm-hmm. This instead filled in the gaps quite nicely. There was a lot of story beats, you know, how the Death Star got built and how it was, you know, not quote unquote fully operational from the get go. They had to do test fires and all this, and then just leading up right to the final shot that leads directly into the opening of A New Hope. I really dug that a lot. That really, those were the few moments that made me feel like, all right, I'm into this, I'm invested, and I like how it tied all those knots together.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really dug the idea of how they did this, and it felt like I was seeing a long form crawl for New Hope happen before my eyes.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. So I really love the where it fits. I love how there was a scene when Jin and Captain Wheat Toast were walking through Jedha City. Mm-hmm. And they bump into the guy who's like, I want it in 12 systems. You know, that guy. They bump into him and the spider face looking dude. I love that. And with Star Wars, you can play a nice little game where you can just look at the background and see what kind of hints to something else you're going to find. And there was a lot of that for New Hope. Even Return of the Jedi and Empire had their moments in this, too. Though I can't really spout them out on top at the top of my head, but mm-hmm. they were there. I do remember going, oh, that Jedi, oh, this, that, you know. So, but I really love how this fits in to the saga. And I don't care if people try to, what argument they try to make in either direction. It's just, it is a good movie on its own. But the fact that it is long form title crawl for New Hope is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was actually my favorite part about the movie is how it connects to New Hope. I almost feel mm-hmm. like you could, if you really felt necessary, you felt it necessary to actually start with episode 1 and 2, that's fine on you. I would actually start with 3, but whatever. But if you went from 3 to 4, I would actually put this one in the middle of it. So to me, even though it's not a saga war film, as they're calling them,
yeah,
it does really feel like it fits. And I like seeing that aspect. I like seeing somebody else in the universe that's dealing with the same problem, and that, you know, not everybody is a Skywalker. That I actually mm-hmm. thought that was a pretty cool aspect of it.
Well, that's what I appreciated about it too, and I think that's what a lot of people really liked, was you don't see a lot of the oppression of the Empire in the other movies where it affects everyday people. It's always, like you said, affecting the Skywalkers or affecting just people just talking about the Empire. This is a real boots on the ground, seeing the effects of stormtroopers coming into mm-hmm. just homes and villages. I kind of like seeing that side of it. It made you really feel like how the Empire was affecting just regular old people instead of those that were in the main saga films.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about how one side, you know, the saga films is you're seeing it either from the rebellion point of view or from the Empire point of view.
Right.
Whereas this, you're seeing it from everyone's point of view.
Exactly.
At one time.
You know what I would really like them to see too with this tie into A New Hope is have them just splice the end of that movie together with the beginning of A New Hope. So you could just kind of watch one giant long movie. That sounds cool to me. Just watch these back to back. You know, not even, don't have any credits, don't have any, I don't want to say get rid of the title crawl, but like just lead it right into the whole, into the next movie, just seamlessly. I want to see someone edit that and make that happen. That would be really cool.
I love how the technology from all the films is still they're very good as far as keeping up with how the technology is displayed in all the films in this, where it has that, I don't want to really call it steampunk kind of feel to it. Star Wars has a technology feel all of its own. It's got this old-timey yet new kind of look to it, where the monitors are not quite up to what we already today have come to expect from monitors. And even then, monitors are like are really not that big of a deal. They don't have like an actual display screen for anything. It's all something in the buttons and little windows that you look in. It's pretty cool. I like how they did that.
My favorite part of the entire movie, honestly, is that there was I had an issue. I do sound like that guy. So
yeah,
I had an issue with the prequels, how their technology looked so fantastic compared to episodes 4 through 6, because they were obviously made, you know, years apart. This one did not have that problem. Like, it actually fit the universe. It made sense. It didn't look like, where did all this technology go? Did they just stop making all this stuff before episode 4? It didn't look like that. It looked like it fit in the world, almost like maybe Disney or Gareth Edwards or whoever, you know, the director, Gareth Edwards, whoever came up with the concepts and whatnot. They understood that, all right, a problem with the prequels was everything looked too fantastic compared to where episodes 4 through 6 were. So we're going to make sure and keep it grounded, keep it simple, keep it light. And they did that. And they committed to it throughout the entire film. I didn't see anything that was an overabundance or overuse of CGI. Everything felt like part of the previous films that we all know and love. That connection to me is probably the most important aspect to the entire film. My opinion.
Force Awakens pulls it off too. They pull off the same thing where it feels like it's the same world.
But the difference is that Force Awakens happens after. So you could actually, all that stuff in the prequels, you could have had in the Force Awakens, and it would have been much better because you don't have, it's coming after the fact. Technology advances, it doesn't go backwards unless the Planet of the Apes happens. So,
well, yes and no. I mean, if you look at history itself as to what's happened to countries that have come under certain heavy extremist views, like let's take 1970s or 1960s. Pakistan, I think. If you take 1960s Pakistan and measure it against 1960s United States, they're very similar. And then as more extremists start taking over and there's more extreme views start taking over, you start seeing a regression start happening in the countries like Pakistan or places like that. Whereas the states are moving forward and most Western countries are moving forward, there's a regression that's happening in those states because they're under a power that is strangling them in the way of what they can and cannot do. So I think if you look at it that way, from what's actually happened in history, the prequels versus these movies is actually possible when you think, okay, well, the Emperor's taking over. He's an extremist. There's an extremist power that's really strangling creativity and strangling technology in a way to force it to sort of regress.
That's interesting. I don't know what it has to do with Star Wars, but I get it. You know, I see where you're going with it. Just kidding. I get it.
Fine, be that way.
No, I like history lessons. I wish Scott had more of those. You'd think he would. He's a teacher and stuff.
Why does she get a blaster and I don't?
What?
I know how to use it.
That's what I'm afraid of. Give it to me.
We're going to Jeddah. That's a war zone.
That's not the point of... Where'd you get it?
I found it.
I find that answer vague and unconvincing.
Trust goes both ways.
You're letting her keep it. Would you like to know the probability of her using it against you? It's high.
Let's get going.
It's very high.
Thoughts on the new characters. I want to mention some of the characters. Jyn Erso, played by Felicity Jones. We've got Andor, played by Diego Luna. K2SO by Alan Tudyk. Yeah. We've got Imwe. How do you say his name correctly?
Imwe.
Okay, said it right. Donnie Yen. Malbus, who's played by Wen Yang. Then you got Krennic, and you've got Saw Gerrera, who's Forrest Whitaker. Those are kind of the big... Oh, I'm sorry. Rook, played by Riz Ahmed. So we've got a very diverse cast, first of all, which is pretty fantastic.
Nice little rainbow coalition.
Who's that?
Galen Erso, Mads Mikkelsen. I know he's not one of the ones, but he plays a pretty prominent role.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So what did you guys think overall of the characters? Anybody stand out? Didn't work for you? Anything?
Well, I mean, the K2SO, it just was awesome. I just loved how, you know, you got to have a droid in it because it's Star Wars. And I love that he was very competent and not like a bumbling comedic role. He was a solid character that really did something, not like in an Inspector Gadget kind of way. He actually was pivotal to the story, but he was also hilarious. Just the lines, his deadpan delivery of lines were great. Jin, I really dug her in terms of, you know, seeing her as a kid and then growing up. I feel a little bit unsure of like how or why she turned or joined with the rebellion. It seemed a little very quick that she just like was on board with it 100% and then giving these rousing speeches to get everybody pumped up. I don't know. I mean, you only have a 2-hour movie. So, Imwe, Donnie Yen's character was also highly entertaining. He was just, you know, he's blind. He's obsessed with the Force. Does he actually use the Force? I can't tell. Or does he just think he has the Force and he's just really good at martial arts?
I think it's more of a spiritual thing for him. You know,
that may happen in you know what? I would love to see the Imwe and Baz story. That's a story I want to see.
I do too. Now, did you guys get is it a love story? It felt like a love story to me. Those two.
It started to feel like it a little bit. Like there was a moment where Jin and Cassian like look at each other deep into their eyes, and I was like,
"No!"
The theater going,
not that.
No, he's talking about Imwe.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care about Jin and Cassian. I'm talking about Imwe and Baz. Yeah, the Asian guys.
I didn't pick up on that, but I started second guessing myself when you were talking about it on Facebook. So I have to go into it thinking that way, but I didn't.
John, did you get that Brokeback Mountain vibe?
I didn't get the Brokeback Mountain vibe, but when I see two friends, you know, when I see two friends who seem as close as they are, I normally just like, that looks awesome. So I don't, but I don't get the Brokeback Mountain vibe at all.
I thought it totally felt romantic. I was really engaged in their relationship. I'm like, I think they love each other. I think this is a really sweet and special kind of thing that's new to Star Wars, and I love it. But they didn't have to spell it out. So maybe it's an interpretation thing. They say, hey, you guys take it for what you want. And they're leaving it open to interpretation, which I respect that as well. But I kind of dug it. I was really – maybe I wanted them to get together. I'm like, Jin and Cassian, I didn't care because I think it was just – it's too big a turn. I'm glad they didn't kiss. That would have really bugged me. But it was too big a turn because he was trying to kill her like 20 minutes ago. But the relationship between those guys was just – thought it was a great relationship. It was a loving relationship. It looked like an old married couple. They really did. It felt like that to me. And so they were easily my favorites. I mean, even over Alan Tudyk as Mr. Roboto, it definitely just stood out for me.
Alan Tudyk's K2SO was a lot of fun. I when I saw him, I'm like, okay, well, this is what would happen if Chewbacca and C-3PO had puppies.
What just happened?
Chewie don't take.
Oh man, that's funny. The one character I will say didn't do anything for me was Forrest Whitaker and his
"Thank you."
I'm Forrest.
Yeah,
Whitaker.
That was
weird.
It was weird.
And he was very like, he was always panicking and worrying and thinking everybody was betraying him. Like, sure, rightly so, but it's like, dude, get a grip, settle down.
Yeah. That I noticed that too, and that seemed a little bit over the top. However, did you notice they never shot his? You never saw him in full body on the screen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you either see him from the top or you see him from the bottom. You don't see him. You don't see a full length shot of him, which I thought was interesting.
You think he was missing his bottom half for most of this movie? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I mean,
like Forrest Whitaker's legs didn't show up, or.
Maybe
wasn't he like a lot mostly machine at this point from aging and battle worn and all that? So
I felt like his was the character where he's supposed to be the old wise mentor, like a Yoda or what was Liam Neeson's character? Jin?
Qui-Gon Jin.
Qui-Gon Jin, yeah. I felt like he was supposed to be that guy, but without earning it. if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We're supposed to appreciate him because he's Forrest Whitaker. Like, I think they thought putting a name in that role would instantly connect, and it just didn't work as well as I think they wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they gave you enough of his story to make it worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's I agree. Right. 100%.
His biggest role to me was rescuing Jin when she was in the right. Stone cave or whatever.
When she's the only one smart enough to get in the rock hatch. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I felt about Krennic. I'm kind of torn. He was played by Ben Mendelsohn, and I keep looking at him. He's got this white cape, and he reminds me of Prince Charming from the Shrek movies. Mm. If you were old and aged and joined the Empire, like just this flowing cape and this long hair that at one point had to have been flowing, and just the way that he presented himself felt like he was more regal than he actually was for some reason.
There, you know what? I agree completely with you. I think Ben Mendelsohn as an actor does slimy and conniving very well. And I don't think Krennic is slimy or conniving. He's more like a child. He's more like a kid who just wants what he wants and he doesn't care about it. I think he was a completely wrong choice for the role because I get this because I watched him in Bloodline where I got really used to seeing him with a cigarette hanging from his lip and he's just laughing at you. Yeah. But he's all gritty and grimy and just disgusting. But I mean, and I loved him in that role. I did not like him in this. It would have been better if they would have been able to get someone like Cary Elwes to play Krennic. I think Cary Elwes would have been much because that role that demands.
Where'd that come from? Even casting directors like who? I mean, that took a minute.
Well, I mean, it could have been because I think that role needed to be someone who is more prissy, more uptight, more it just a lot more of the snooty Englishman kind of way of being, and that's why
too
I think
rugged.
Yeah, I mean, he looked way too rugged with Ben Mendelsohn doing it, and he's got so much going on behind his eyes that, and Krennic as a character doesn't have that much going on. He's not thinking 10 steps ahead of you, whereas Ben Mendelsohn as a person is.
See, mm-hmm. I really liked him. I felt like the portrayal was more of, you know, Tarkin is kind of like the guy. He's the top guy. He's CEO, you know. Where, you know, Darth Vader's the president, but Tarkin's like the CEO. And I think they were presenting Krennic as this wannabe middle manager who's way above his pay grade. He's operating way above his pay grade. I think Tarkin knew it, but still gave him the opportunity because he presented or handed over Mads Mikkelsen. So he was trying to get that job security. He was trying to get that new position, and he just wasn't up for the challenge. And so the whole movie, it felt like a guy reaching for the aspirations that he has no business reaching for. And I think he did a really good job for me of achieving that. So to me, it worked. But I also don't have really the Bloodline connection, so I'm not looking at him in anything else. I'm just looking at him mm-hmm. from this role because I really didn't finish the series.
How about when he mouths off to Darth Vader?
How about what?
When he mouthed off to Darth Vader.
Yeah, that was really stupid. Oh, Scott. What? Scott, wait. Before you say anything, Scott has the most awesome point. I've never seen Scott Clark this angry walking out of a theater in my life. Scott, please tell him why you were so mad.
About the Darth Vader scene?
Yes.
Darth Vader does not speak in puns. I'm sorry. This whole, like, I don't choke on your aspirations. Shut up. That, oh my God. That just, like, is not Darth Vader at all. Darth Vader does not tell jokes. He does not make these witty, it's just not, that's so below him, in my opinion. Yes, there's puns in Star Wars, and that's fine. But Darth Vader should not. That seriously just bothered me so much.
I don't remember what he said, but it was something akin to, oh, so the Dark Lord is Deadpool now? Something like that. I couldn't stop laughing. I was in tears. I'm just like, oh my God, he's so mad about this. And he was fuming over it.
You know, but Anakin did two puns, so it makes total sense.
Yeah, but he wasn't Darth Vader at that point. He was a whiny little kid that mm-hmm. was being overtaken by the dark side. I mean,
oh, so
you know
fun.
What? I've decided it's not worth having this argument with you.
I think it's great because it was the most fun I had the entire movie. Because Scott was so mad. He was so mad. Like, as soon as it happened, he's like, wait, what? What? And he's like, did you hear that? I'm like, well, yeah, everybody heard it. Darth Vader doesn't do that. He was just mad for like 5 minutes. It was great.
Oh, it made me so angry. Don't choke on your aspirations. As he's holding up his claw hand like he's doing the Force and then just drops it. Oh, stop.
The finger pinchy thing.
He doesn't even need to do the finger pinchy thing. He can just look at him and do it. And
How about Mads Mikkelsen? I'm sorry. You want to finish your Darth Vader rant? Go ahead.
Well, there's so much more foreboding tone by just looking at him and doing it and having like the breathing going faster while he's doing the Force choke instead of holding up his hand and doing this and doing a pun that just screams, we're just trying to make him look. We're trying way too hard to make him look more badass. You don't need
Darth
to try
Vader
to make him
have badass. Eyebrows. He doesn't have eyebrows. He can't just twitch an eyebrow and make it look like he's doing something. He's got to do something with his hands. His face doesn't move.
He doesn't have to. He can just look and breathe heavy, and it's scary as hell.
Mm-hmm. There's some guy in a backwards world somewhere that doesn't know what the hell's going on. He's like, why did that guy suddenly start choking? I don't know. This doesn't make any sense to me.
So we need to cater to those four people that don't know what's going on in the Star Wars universe?
It's a lot more than four people.
It's like six. Yeah, it's at least six.
I will say not those people were not at the theater this weekend.
It's a lot more than that. However, it's not the first time we've seen Darth Vader do something like that. In New Hope, he does the whole when the other guy is mouthing off to him, he does the whole like looks up at him and does the whole finger pinchy thing again. And that guy dies
and
so,
says nothing. I think this is what you're actually speaking to Scott's point. That Darth Vader didn't need to say anything. He just like choked him out.
I didn't have as much of a problem with him putting the hand up. It was the line.
Duke, I mean, joke on your aspirations.
Well, what did he say? He said, "I find your lack of faith disturbing," or something like that. That to me is more menacing than telling a quick joke.
Wow, you really actually have feelings about this.
You really did. That was awesome. I loved it.
You know what? Let's transition it this way. How did you feel about finally seeing Darth Vader kick some massive ass?
It was awesome. However,
oh boy. See, I'm not the only guy. Yeah, what's up, buddy?
No, it was awesome, but my issue with that is when he goes on that ship and just opens the door and starts kicking ass at all these rebels and slicing them with his lightsaber, why didn't he do that on the blockade runner in A New Hope? He just lets the stormtroopers do all that and then walks in and finds Princess Leia and
he was tired. He just did all this other ass kicking.
He was tired.
Yeah, he just did a whole bunch of other ass kicking. He's got some time. But however, okay, so I like the way they presented him. They were just standing in the hallway, and then all of a sudden, they don't know what the hell's going on. They're looking into the darkness, and then they can hear his breathing, and then the lightsaber kicks on, and boom, there's Darth Vader. That was really cool.
Oh, totally. It was totally cool, but in terms of continuity with tying it into A New Hope, I mean, I understand the technology wasn't there in 77. To have him jumping around and slicing and dicing and all that. I mean, look at the lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader at the end of A New Hope.
It looks like two old guys with sticks.
Two old guys like batting at each other like cat toys. that's the most you're going to get. I get that, but I don't know. If you do the transition between the two, that to me is going to be like a big gap. Like all of a sudden he just kicked ass and now he's just walking in and talking. Like why is he letting all the stormtroopers do all the work in the second time around?
I mean, yeah, but technology is going to be, it's one of those things where I know. Exactly what you're saying, but I love that you're that guy, not me. So that makes me feel better. So just continue. Go ahead. I think we've got we've got a really good representation here because we've got like all across the board. What's it?
Cause you have more people that agree with you.
Yeah, well, man, the internet's been attacking me because if I say anything about it, I hate Star Wars. And it's so irritating to me, that hyperbolic nonsense with anything that you can't say, I didn't love it, and here's why. And then people say, why didn't you love it? And you tell them, and they're like, well, why do you hate Star Wars? Nobody hated it. I liked it. But you're making me irritated is what you're doing. And there's no reason for that.
I love Star Wars. You guys know that from having me on the show for so long. Mm-hmm. I love Star Wars. I wanted to love this movie. I really wanted to. And I don't hate the movie. I just don't love it nearly as much as everybody else does. I've have issues with it. And but like I said, it's still in my top 10 favorites of the year. So it's not like I'm saying this is a $2 movie or anything like that. There's still a lot of fun to be had. I just didn't love it.
What did you guys think of Rook? Riz Ahmed. He played Rook. He was the pilot.
I liked him in the last half of the movie. When you're first meeting him, I was kind of wondering why they use Riz Ahmed, because I felt like he was sort of wasted. But in the last half of the movie, when he started, and especially when they were on that planet at the data center, he really kind of stepped up his game at that point. And he was from that point on, he was a lot of fun and very interesting for me to watch.
It was one of those things where I liked him, but only the last part of the movie. Like when he's in the movie for the primary part of his role, he was kind of bland. He was kind of like not a factor, you know?
Yeah, he didn't really have a lot to do. He was in the prison cell getting licked up on by the tentacle thing. He didn't really have too much to do. Oh, and when they had him kneeling in front of Forrest Whitaker's character, he's like, no, I can hear what you're saying. I gave it to them. They didn't find it on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of nice.
I was glad that they didn't go the route of him just being completely out of his mind, because I really thought that's what they're going to do. When they found him in prison and his mind was all messed up, I just felt like he was just going to be this dumb character for the rest. I was glad they didn't do that. It was like he started to get better, you know, as it went on. So like that was definitely a good thing. I mean, Aaron, I'm curious. You seem to have a lot of issues with this. What other issues did you have besides the ones we talked about, or did we cover them all?
No, I got a couple. Well, I do. I don't think I said it, so I do want to say a really positive. I thought Felicity Jones was great, and she had a really hard role because she basically has to carry the movie without having any connection to the previous movies, and I think that's really hard to do. And I think she did much better than I thought she was going to do, because I've only seen her in kind of more Theory of Evolution, romantic type roles. I hadn't seen her actually carry the weight as a hard-nosed veteran, and I didn't expect her to do well with it, and I thought she did well. So that's a positive. The other issues I had, okay. The score was so bland. Just so bland. And I realized Michael Giacchino, how do you say his name?
You're Giacchino. In the neighborhood.
Yeah, there we go. I'm in the zip code. I realized he only had like 6 weeks, I think, to compose the score or something like that. I realized he was on a rush schedule. I understand, and I know he's a very talented musician, but the score is bland. It just, there's nothing memorable about the score. The only thing memorable is when the end kicks in and the theme finally happens.
So when John Williams shows up.
Yep, John Williams shows up, saves the day. You know, like the gunslinger that just rolled into town. Thank God. Thank God he showed up to save us all. It's just one of those things where through the entire movie, that's one I pay attention to in a Star Wars movie is the score. Because the score is iconic. Always has been. The Imperial theme, the main title theme, you know, all those things. Anything in any Star Wars movie that John Williams has done has been iconic. This movie was very by the numbers. It's generic. I know some people are like, well, he got rushed. I get that. I understand that. That doesn't make the score better. It doesn't make the movie music any better just because he was rushed. You know,
even The Force Awakens had new themes for the new characters, and they were instantly iconic.
Absolutely.
Like he's got these different scores that match up with different characters, and it works. This one, when the opening title crawl, or not title crawl, obviously that wasn't there, but when they flashed Rogue One on the screen and they played the music, this is going to sound harsh, but seriously, I immediately thought The Last Starfighter. As much as I like that soundtrack was supposed to be cheesy because of the tone of the movie. This felt like the same tone of that. Like, oh, hey, we're Rogue One, we're here. It was nothing. It was too happy. It just bothered me. Nothing stood out. And outside of that opening thing, I don't remember any of the other music. Nothing stuck in my head. Nothing got me pumped up. It was really lacking.
I don't remember any of it except for the end. None of it sticks with me at all.
Mm-hmm. That's my biggest problem. The crawl was a problem. I did miss it. You know, it's not one that's going to ruin a movie for me. I think the opening probably could have been told in a crawl, and because the pacing was an issue for me. That first hour was really hard to get through. Like, it was boring. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, the first Star Wars New Hope had an opening that I wasn't bored in a New Hope. I know it takes a while to get going, but I wasn't bored. I've seen that 100 times and I'm still not bored. I was bored in Rogue One. That's a factor of pacing. Maybe the characters weren't really engaging from the get-go. I don't know, but it just wasn't clicking. But more importantly than the crawl is that opening da-da, for me. I need that, I think. I think that's just something I need in a Star Wars movie because it instantly sets the mood. And
do you think that's going to be the same thing in like when we get the Han Solo movie and the and all that? Are they going to ditch the?
According to Disney, yeah. According to Disney,
that's too bad.
My last issue, it's not so much an issue. Okay, Tarkin. I realized they needed to do that because his character played a pivotal role in the film, right? Tarkin. Mm-hmm. So they needed to recreate Peter Cushing, and I actually think they did a pretty admirable job.
Yes,
for what they could.
No, they totally did. He just, to me, looked like he was came out of a video game.
But, yep. I mean, they did it as well as they could. It's probably one of the best representations I've seen, but it's still CGI. And you also, you know that, you know, so that.
When standing up to other characters, he stood out completely.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just looked different. Like, if you had had a, if you had a shot of him by himself, maybe talking to the Emperor or something like that through the little blue communication, whatever they got, I'd be fine with that. But when he's standing next to other characters that are actual real people, he just sticks out like a sore thumb.
You know, the thing I noticed about it is that old age makeup on in practical old age practical makeup has this very same problem that CGI old age makeup has, because if you look at how they young down or age down Princess Leia, it wasn't as noticeable as it was with Grandma Tarkin. And I think that has to do with the fact that they had to work with his age at the time, too. And if you throw practical makeup on somebody in it to make it look old agey, there's a huge margin of error when that happens, too, where you can completely notice that practical makeup is there. So my problem was that the lighting on him never really matched up with the lighting with everybody else in the room, which caught my attention immediately. And there was a couple of times where, and I know it's my imagination, but there's a couple of times where it felt like his face was twitching unnaturally. So
it's a glitch. It's a glitch in the program.
Yeah.
And this might not be a fair comparison considering how little it was done in that show, but how does Westworld pull it off better than Disney?
Oh, with Anthony Hopkins, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, granted, he was. It was only a couple shots. They didn't actually have him talking, but when he just in Westworld, when he walked past, it just looked like young Anthony Hopkins. Or when they have a shot of him standing next to Arnold, it looks like him. It looks real.
Well, they successfully did that with Princess Leia too.
No, they did not successfully do it.
I feel like they did.
Dude, okay.
That was straight up Polar Express.
My Tarkin was leading in, because I didn't have an issue with Tarkin, because I thought it actually looked as well as it could. Leia was my issue. I was leading into Leia, and we just got sidetracked on Tarkin. Let me tell you something. When she pops on the screen, I had the same reaction I did when I saw Angel Paul Walker in Furious 7. You know, at the very end, when you see his face, and he's got that angelic glow, and it's like, oh.
So you started crying?
Almost, mostly. Yeah, I'm like, it completely stood out.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh my God, it completely stood out. I'm just sitting there. As soon as she came up, I'm like, oh no, no, oh, that really didn't work at all. They should have just excised it completely. But I almost said
excised. Especially because that's like the final shot of the movie.
Yeah,
That's like the thing that happens before the credits roll. That needed to look better than Tarkin, and Tarkin looked better than she did.
Yeah, apparently John disagrees. John, please tell us how much you like angelic Carrie Fisher.
I do like angelic Carrie Fisher. That's the way I see her all the time. And when I see Carrie Fisher, I see cinnamon buns, sweet, soft face with a little bit of Vaseline on the screen, you know, kind of
what?
Rosy cheeks.
Yeah, I see that all the time when it comes to Carrie Fisher. So I didn't notice it as much with Carrie Fisher. Just like with when they age down Robert Downey Jr. for Winter Soldier, not Winter Soldier, Civil War. I didn't notice it. It was hard. It was scary almost to see them do that for him. So I thought it was very equally well done for both those movies.
Oh,
so
I did not. Because I feel like for Civil War, they just took Downey Jr. and just moved out the wrinkles is all they did. Where Carrie Fisher, I think they recreated her completely. And it looked like CGI to me. It didn't look like Carrie Fisher being de-aged, you know, it just didn't look like that to me. But I mean, we saw it different, that's fine. Those are my big issues with the movie and the pacing.
My big issue is that in that moment they practically, you know, with the throughout the whole movie they're like hope.
Yeah, hope. That was a problem.
And so whenever I saw that, it was kind of like it was it was that Peter Griffin effect. And they go, hoop, heh, hoop, heh.
Oh, man.
I got two more issues I want to touch on really quick before we go on to the next section
here. Before we get positive again? Before we get bring it back up?
First one is one of the most iconic shots from the trailer that got me amped for this movie was the shot where I believe it's Jin that's running up with the plans, and this TIE fighter just flies up right in her face, fills the full screen, just floats in front of her. And that was absent from the movie. Somebody decided it was a good idea to pull that shot from this movie. Why?
This is why I don't watch trailers.
Yeah, but he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right, though. It's a great shot. Like a great shot. Where you have a TIE fighter and you have Jin. It just looks like something. I want to see that in the Star Wars movie. I don't know why they would pull that. But there's actually, because I went and watched the trailers after the movie because Scott mentioned this to me. And there's a lot of scenes from the trailers that aren't in here.
It's a lot of lines.
Yeah, like, I mean, the
line about I rebel. Yeah, that wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, from the one trailer I saw, that line wasn't in there. I think that there was something was up with the editing on this. I think that's why there was the pacing was questionable. They did. It seems like to me, and even that scene when you have Vader come in do the finger pinchy thing, that felt like an afterthought almost. Because it didn't have the same kind. First of all, why is Vader on a volcanic planet? Didn't he learn the first time?
Wow!
You'd think he'd have a fear of volcanoes at this point, or something?
Yeah, he would be a little bit twitchy about that. So
just be like,
why,
guys, we don't need to go there, do we? Come on.
Yeah, Emperor. I'm gonna live where? What did I ever do to you? You know, I'm supposed to be a right hand man. Why do I have to live in this shithole? You
know, it's so awesome.
I got one other quick thing, and this is completely nitpicking, and Aaron is probably gonna make fun of me again for this complaint, but and this is something that normally never bothers me about, like, any. I don't know how to say it. At the very end, they're carrying the plans up to this, and at one point they're climbing up something, and Jin has the plans attached to her hip. And there's this,
To
me, felt like a long shot of what is supposed to be of the plans that are hanging from her, and the screen is completely filled with this shot of her ass.
I have no complaint with this scene at all.
Were you not hugged enough? Did you not ride in enough back seats of bicycles growing up?
Here's the thing. While I love the Darth Vader complaint, this one makes no sense to me. I'm like, they were just showing that she has the plans. That's it. And he's like, gratuitous ass shot.
It felt gratuitous to me.
Are you questioning yourself when you're staring at her ass that much? Is that what's happening?
No. Don't get me wrong. I didn't have a problem with it in the terms of enjoying it. I just don't like it in my Star Wars movie. Okay, that's enough of that. What are your favorite moments or lines from the movie? Now that we've got all the issues out of the way, what'd you like the best?
So Imwe gets a bag over his head. What is it? How did
he? Are you kidding me? Really?
I'm blind. I'm kidding. Are you kidding me?
That was fantastic.
That caught me so off guard, and I was not expecting him to say anything like that. That was awesome. And then K2SO, did you know that wasn't me?
Yeah, pretty much anything K2SO said was like one of my favorite moments of the movie.
Yeah.
When he catches that grenade and then just tosses it back behind him and blows up a bunch of stormtroopers without looking back, just like tough guy walking away from an explosion, was awesome. That was so good.
Congratulations, you're being rescued.
I love the sardonic and sarcastic manner of that entire. Is he programmed that way? Is that because he's an Imperial droid that he's just sarcastic? Because I respect that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it was pretty great.
It was pretty great. Pretty great.
What else did I love? Anything that happened between Imwe and Baz was pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, his blind fight was pretty fantastic. And
yeah.
Speaking to that, when his friend is killed and he just picks up and he decides he's going to fight on, even though he knows he's going to die, when Baz does that, that's a great moment to me. That's a hero moment. I love that moment. I was really into that.
The staff that turns into a cannon when he shot the TIE fighter out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
That caught me off guard for sure. I was like, okay, well, what's he going to do? And then all of a sudden his staff turns into a cannon and bye-bye TIE fighter.
And even though it bothered me, the Darth Vader moment is pretty freaking awesome. Like, it is awesome. Totally. Even though, why does he fight like an old man in every other movie after that? But this was pretty fantastic.
I absolutely adored that moment. I said this in my review. Darth Vader was, kind of like an old man. Sure, I can run away from him. No problem. I can get, I can do that. No, you can't. You can't get away from Darth Vader. He just tore through people as if they were paper. In a horror movie, when, so everything's painted all red. You got people who are just trying to scramble away from this giant monster is what it looked like. It was pretty amazing. I absolutely loved that scene.
I also really like seeing the destruction of the Death Star when it's not at full power, actually blowing up a planet like we saw in A New Hope. You just see like this just massive destruction in this tsunami like ground destruction, especially seeing it from the view of the Death Star. Like, we never, because the only time we ever saw the Death Star fire was actually obliterating a planet. And now we're actually just seeing some real damage, some very awful damage. But it was really cool to see that, like some them testing it out.
Strikes.
That was really cool.
I like that they addressed that, because that's something that, as a Star Wars fan, I've always wondered, like, could it just target an area? Could it target, a specific section? Does it only blow up planets? I mean, is that all it does? To see it actually target a small subsection of the area, I thought was great to see. I never expected it. I never expected that question answered, and it was cool to see that. And I like that they, this is one thing I thought plot-wise was really cool, is that in A New Hope, it's one of those things where you watch it, you just take it as a grain of salt. Okay, well, Luke makes a really, really lucky shot, and they found this one weakness. And here they give you an explanation for why that weakness is there. Whether you buy it or not, that's up to you. I mean, I think opinions and mileage are going to vary. But I thought it was good that they actually incorporated it. Here's a reason why that weakness is there. And
totally.
Here's how we dealt with it.
That makes total sense. It does make total sense that something like that would make it happen that way. So, because I looked over some of the videos or some of the spots from New Hope, and it's a weird little exhaust point. I don't understand why that would be a problem. Oh, okay. Somebody planned it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now it makes total sense.
Now we understand it. And some people didn't like that Jyn turns into a motivational speaker after her dad dies. But, I mean, what more motivation do you need?
That seemed
like the best kind.
My only problem with Jyn was at the beginning part of the movie, she felt too focused on how she was abandoned. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that she seemed to be a little crippled by that whole abandonment issue.
Well, she should. Wouldn't you be?
Me out rebelling and trying to save the galaxy. I mean, that's fine. I can be that way.
But he didn't abandon her when she was a young child. He took care of her for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, granted, she's still a child at 16, but she,
I still wonder.
The girls are stronger than I am. I'm going to say
totally.
That.
Totally.
I still wonder why he would just not let them kill him if he didn't want to build the big giant planet killer. And then people kept saying, well, they were going to build it anyway. Yeah, well, apparently he was really important to that because they hunted his ass down. So I still struggle with that one, but I just let it slide.
That was a Krennic thing, though. That was Krennic felt like he was the best person to have to get the job done the best. And Krennic really wanted to have the best job done. So that's really where I think that comes in. That was more Krennic's. That was more like Krennic saying, hey, I know you're the best. It's going to make me look really good if I get you in. Everyone else knows you're the best. So if I can just make this happen, it's going to make me look good. And I'm going to get that promotion I always wanted. Maybe a nice little Lamborghini, something else like that. Who knows?
My other favorite moment is they didn't make out at the end. I was really like, they got nice and close. And I'm like, oh, my God, don't, because I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah.
It's going to ruin it for
same
me.
Same here. Like, please don't kiss. Please don't kiss. Please don't kiss.
Yep.
Yeah. Milquetoast Han Solo was not selling it to me.
Thank you. Everybody keeps telling me I'm wrong about this guy. He was boring.
To me, he was a lot more sniveling than I would have wanted out of your roguish hero. He was too sniveling.
Started out strong. That scene where he like takes out a rebel in the alley to
basically
hide his escape. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, I'm on board. Cause that was a shocker actually to see that happen. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. But he definitely shot first.
He did. He definitely did. Any other favorite moments or lines you guys want to talk about?
No. That's
pretty much it.
Can we just go over all the K2SO's lines?
Yeah, his entire script. Yeah, that works.
That's an impounded Imperial ship. What's your call sign, pilot?
We have to go.
It's.
Say something. Come on.
Rogue? Rogue One.
Rogue One? There is no Rogue One.
Well, there is now.
Rogue One. Pulling away.
Pulling away.
I do want to ask you, what do you guys think, this is not part of the format, but what do you think about every character, major character we come to love in this movie, dying?
Well, we kind of knew that was going to happen, right?
Well, we knew it, but I don't know if we knew that, because, I mean, we had that idea. I thought it was going to happen, but still, it's still Star Wars. That's pretty dark for a Star Wars movie.
I mean, they killed off part of their fleet. They killed off actually a big part of their fleet, because if you remember in New Hope, they didn't even have that fleet working for them. When the Death Star showed up, they didn't have it. They didn't have a fleet. It was, you saw what happened to their fleet in this movie. They got decimated. I would have liked to have seen somebody make it out, because part of my theory was maybe Jyn Erso is probably the explanation for Rey. And I would have liked to have seen that through line, but at the same time, I'm glad they didn't feed my little fan fiction love story that I had in my head. Probably had butts, I don't know, but I'm disappointed, but I appreciate the fact that they said, okay, no, it's one off, you can't have them anymore, these are our toys, we're keeping them.
Okay, so this is the first Star Wars spinoff, we've got more coming. How did it fare? Do you think they're on the right track, Scott?
I think so, in terms of giving a little bit of a different experience that's set apart from the original films. Yes, they're on the right track. For me personally, it kind of misses the mark in terms of what I want from a Star Wars movie, but I'm going to see it a second time just to make sure, because I feel like I want to see what I'm missing, that everyone's telling me I'm missing. So I want to kind of go into it without having the expectations, the high expectations that I had. So I'm interested to see if I'm wrong or not, because I wasn't head over heels in love with this movie. Overall, it kind of felt like it tied me over for episode 8. Which is where I'm really going to get amped to see what happens, because, a lot of characters I already know, and I'm really interested to see where that story goes. This story, we already know how it ended, even before the movie started. Mm-hmm. I have no idea where episode 8 is going to go, so this felt like it was just this is just going to get me by until what I really want happens next year.
It's like a placeholder for you?
Exactly.
I really feel like we're on the right track. I feel like we're going to get some really wonderful stories, with the exception of the Boba Fett story. That they better not do that. I've heard people say that this doesn't feel like it belongs in the same sort of universe, and I wholeheartedly disagree, because there's a lot of connecting tissue here that maybe they're not just seeing. So I love the connective tissue that you're seeing. I love the story. The story was great. I really enjoyed it, and it made me happy. And I went into the movie with zero expectations, because I didn't have trailers to feed off of, with the exception of the very, 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 very first trailer. From that point on, I was trailer dark, and I didn't go in with any other ideas of what to expect. I just went in with fresh eyes. I let them tell me their story, and I really enjoyed it. I really loved how they did it too.
Even though I didn't love the movie, I did love that they took a chance, because the one thing I will say about Force Awakens, even though I love that movie and I know it's a New Hope 2.0, I get it. It is absolutely just a remake of a New Hope, but it felt safe, if that makes sense. I mean, it just felt like they went to the greatest hits package, which worked great. And I love that movie. But here, this is really outside of their normal wheelhouse. It's really a completely different kind of film. You don't have a lot of Jedi lightsaber fights. You don't have a lot of Force. You have more of what does the common man see the Force as, which I did love that aspect. I thought that was really cool to see what your average Joe, who doesn't have the power of a Jedi, what he sees the Force as. And he sees that, to me, he saw it as a spiritual component and helped drive him, just kind of like religion drives a lot of people. So I really love that angle of it. So to me, even though I didn't love the movie, I had some issues. I talked about them. I'm sure some people have already called me a hater and turned this podcast off. Fine. But actually, Scott seemed to hate on it more. but honestly, outside of the first 45 minutes and a couple of CGI issues, the last half was really just nailing it. And it kind of suffered, I think, from Godzilla disease, which is Gareth Edwards also did Godzilla, and the first hour of that movie dragged ass. So I think maybe he just needs to pick up his pacing a little bit. But I really like what they did. I like that they took a chance. I like that they did something a little different. I think Han Solo, the Han Solo movie is going to, so is that Super Solo? So Solo? I don't know how that works.
Solo Squared?
Exactly. I think that's going to be much more of a rip-roaring, fun, good time.
Swashbuckling,
almost Indiana Jones kind of feel. I think that's what they're going to go with that. And to me, that's great. I think it's a world that needs expansion. It has the ability to greatly expand as the former expanded universe or extended universe, whatever they called it in the books, alluded to. There's a lot of opportunities to tell a bunch of different stories that don't involve Skywalkers. And I think that would be a great world to explore. And I'm glad we're finally doing that. Now, the one thing I want to see, the one thing that worries me is this movie still had to have so much fan service and so many nods to the other films or the next film and whatnot. When they get to a film that isn't Han Solo, isn't completely connected in some way to this universe, that's one I'm really curious to see. Because I don't know how they're going to do that. Because it feels like even with Force Awakens, they really did a lot of connections to the previous films. Even in Rogue One, they did that. So what are they going to do if they go to a story that isn't part of anything we've seen before it?
That's really what I want from a Han Solo movie. Is just that's the one that I really wanted to set apart and not have a ton of fan service outside of Han Solo maybe delivering a couple lines that we've heard in other things. You can't have a Star Wars movie without I got a bad feeling about this, right? I mean, that's just
you're absolutely right.
Shut up.
But I'm absolutely talking about movies that don't star characters that we've seen before, or that maybe are ancillary characters. Maybe they're not. You know, we don't have a whole lot of backstory on them. So they're basically creating a new Star Wars world.
Yeah, you know? I would love to see like a Wedge Antilles leading Rogue Squadron kind of story being told. You know, something like that would be kind of awesome because he's a very ancillary character. He only shows up briefly in the first couple of movies.
Oh my God, John, that is a fantastic idea because one of my favorite things in any Star Wars movie is anything with the vehicles and space battles. Yeah. And having an entire movie centered around an X-Wing squadron just going and doing some missions, that sounds amazing to me. And I want that.
Got to keep it 100. Not my idea. It's part of the expanded universe in the books.
Right.
But yes, it's a good idea, I think, as far as let's do something like that with Rogue Squadron would be pretty great, or even because Rogue Squadron doesn't show up in the movies at all yet, because it's something that comes out of the books. They're different bits and pieces of a different squadrons from the books. So Red Squadron is where they really got their start, because Wedge Antilles was the commander in the movies of Red Squadron. Seeing Red Squadron kind of develop into something like that would be really neat, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Be like Top Gun.
Yeah, like a Top for sure. Gun Top Gun, but Star Wars. Yeah, let's do it.
There's a we're looking for the best space pirate or space fighters in the galaxy. You guys just got bumped up. You're going to Top Gun.
I would love it.
Okay.
I'm on board.
Bring back that guy from Top Gun that played Strickland because
he's back alive. In the future. He's like 112. They could CGI him, apparently. So they apparently. Should do that.
Yeah. The one thing I don't want to see them do, and I know this, I know there's so many fans that want this, and I know that there's so many people who are just chomping at the bit for it, but I don't want to see a Boba Fett movie. I really don't want to see that. That doesn't sound it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound great. Boba Fett is an idiot. He's a moron who flies into the side of a freaking barge. He got beat by a stick, okay? He got beat by a stick being swung by a blind man who doesn't know what he's doing. That's how awesome Boba Fett is. Jesus.
Well, and Boba Fett before the things you're talking about was a cool foreboding character, and to me the mystery behind him is way cooler than a backstory. We got enough backstory in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I don't need to see any more from him. I like the intrigue behind him more than seeing any more.
I wanted to see him fish his father's head out of that helmet.
Wow.
Oh, wow, you really want to make a dark Star Wars movie.
I want a Chewbacca movie. That's what I want. And the whole movie is...
You want a subtitle?
Yeah, it's all subtitled. That would be great.
Chewie don't take.
Oh. Okay, so it's coming just a year after Force Awakens. Did this movie hit you the same that that film did? And also, do you think having these movies so close together is a problem or not a problem?
I don't think it's a problem. I think it's fine. I think it's what we should come to expect with a lot of these shared universe movies that from this point moving forward. If Marvel hasn't taught us anything yet, it's what we should come to expect. This did not have the same kind of charge to it that Force Awakens did for me. Again, I've said it a couple times, I love this movie. Force Awakens, I lived off of that high for a week and a half. I was just so charged up and enjoyed it so much. I ran to the theater several times to see it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I'm good with this movie once. I will wait until it comes out on Blu-ray, or I can get it on ultra high def. I'll wait for that, but I don't need to go running to the theater to see this one over and over again. I loved it, but it's not a Force Awakens to me. Force Awakens was basically them saying, you're going to love Star Wars again. You're going to feel okay with that stupid tattoo you got when you were 19. You're going to be fine. And that's what I got from Force Awakens. I didn't get that from this. I got from this, hey, we're still going to be fine. It's going to be a good time. You should be happy with what you're getting. And yeah, I feel that way.
I feel exactly the same. This doesn't come even close to Force Awakens. You guys know I don't rewatch a lot of movies except for like maybe Christmas movies or a couple of my favorites that I watch like annually. I watched Force Awakens probably about a dozen times at this point between theater viewings and watching it on iTunes. I just never get tired of it. It's just so much fun from front to back. The entire thing is just a good time. It feels like a Star Wars movie. I liked Rogue One, but outside of maybe seeing a second viewing in the theater, I don't see me watching this one over and over again nearly as much. I mean, I was excited to be seeing a new Star Wars movie this weekend, but not nearly as amped as I was for 7. And as far as the gaps, I have a slight worry about oversaturation, but then I think of things like the Marvel movies. I spoke several years ago how I feel like I'm going to get tired of comic book movies and I'm not going to want to keep going to the theater to see those. But guess what? It's 2016, almost 2017, and I'm still seeing every Marvel movie and having way more fun with even new properties that I never thought I would. So we're so used to having these large gaps between Star Wars films. I think that worry is not founded. I think having multiple Star Wars movies in a year even isn't going to be a problem for me. I can't get enough Star Wars spinoffs. I mean, we're going to run out of story eventually at some point.
No, we're not.
But
no, we're not. Disney's like, no, Scott, we're not. They're actually going to send you a memo directly and say, no, we're good.
No, we're fine. And there's a lot of elements from this movie that I noticed from the expanded universe that I thought was interesting. So they'll be fine. They have a huge canon of stuff that's not canon that they can pull from and turn into canon. That was a weird sentence.
It really was, yeah.
You like cannons.
I actually don't have a problem with the time frame at all. We've kind of grown into that culture where it's time seems like it's not as long apart as it used to be. You know, where I think when we were growing up, 3 years was necessary to kind of get us excited for the next one. But now there's so much content, you know, it feels longer than it is. You know, that year from Force Awakens, it feels like a couple of years, actually.
It does, yeah.
Because there's just been so many movies we've watched since then, and so I'm fine with it. And I like that they are doing something separate from the Saga Wars, because their Saga episodes, whatever they're calling it, I really like that they're doing different stuff, and we're going to see different worlds. Some of them I'm going to love, some of them I'm going to like, some of them I'm not going to like, and I think that's exciting.
Yeah.
So we know some of their spinoff ideas as we close this up, and we might have some of our own ideas. Is there anything really specific you want to see?
I mean, the easy answer is Obi-Wan. I would love to see some. That's a character I would like to see some backstory on. As much as I don't want to see Boba Fett, give me some more Obi-Wan. That dude is awesome.
Do you want Ewan McGregor to do it?
I would like to, but I would rather see his story getting into the Jedi Council. Like him as a much younger Padawan. You know, he was in training under Qui-Gon Jinn. He was really young in Phantom Menace, but kind of underutilized in that movie. And I would like to see his childhood or something like that and see how that worked out. This one's not quite an easy answer. I'm not really sure how it would shake out, but there's a lot of Star Wars history or lore from like a long, long time ago, even more so a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, like thousands of years ago, like from Knights of the Old Republic era.
Mm-hmm.
Like see some Darth Revan and see some of that story. I mean, the Jedi have been around for a long time. You've got a lot of lore back there that would be kind of cool to see in a movie as well. What about you, John?
I like the idea of Obi-Wan, but I prefer to see Obi-Wan ducking and weaving past the Empire, pre-New Hope, post whatever that abortion was, Revenge of the Sith.
Sis. That's when his sibling comes back to take his power away.
Yeah, right.
Anakin's long-lost sister.
I would love to see the story between those two movies of Obi-Wan, because I think that's just fascinating. It'd be fascinating to see a Jedi who's so used to being amongst other Jedi trying to bob and weave his way through and be nearly on his own, with the exception of some rebel collaborators to get him to where he needed to be to help protect Luke. You know, I would love to see that story. The idea of doing a Red Squadron story would be awesome. I think that would be a lot of fun. There's got to be other Jedi hiding in the world that would be really cool to see. Can't be just Obi-Wan and Yoda hiding out. There had to be, if you look at the expanded universe, there are other ones that are hiding. And I would love to see some of their stories or see something similar to them. And I understand why. I understand why the movies aren't following along or even pulling too much from the expanded universe, which has a lot to do with most of that stuff was created by the authors of those books and then just thrown into saying, okay, well, this is it. This is what we got. And they want to avoid having to pay as many people as they have to, I feel like. So, but those are the kind of things I'd want to see for sure. Or actually, maybe a story of Mon Mothma and how she came to be the head of the Alliance. Mm-hmm. I think that would be awesome, too.
Well, now that I've seen Rogue One, I want to see a Imwe and Baz movie. I really do, like a prequel of some sort. I realize they can't go too far prequel because they're not really, they're not young. But I would love to see something with those guys. I just think they're a great addition, and they're not part of the mystic. They're not part of the mystical aspect of the Star Wars universe. They're very much just everyday guys just living their lives, fighting through. And I think that would be kind of cool. Maybe have a little Daredevil kind of Star Wars episode. I don't know. I would just like something that is revolving, like this was, revolving around the non-Jedi, the non-affiliated, the non-card-carrying members of the Force. I think that would be really fun to watch how people live in a universe where there are – it's kind of like when you look at the Marvel Universe, right? You have all these superheroes, and it's great that we're following their story. But what about the people on the ground that aren't superheroes? What about the people that are doing the everyday grunt work, kind of like Rogue One was? I want to see a couple of those movies tossed in to this mix. That's what I want. Because they're heroes, too.
They're heroes, too. They deserve it. I mean, the guy who's sweeping up after somebody
– maybe not that guy.
Do you think that would work better like in a TV series? Do you think we'll ever see a Star Wars TV series?
I think they're working on one.
That'd be pretty cool.
I don't really. I'm sure most fans probably want that. I don't. I would rather just stick to the movies. I don't need 14 universes. Just give me the movies and just give me something exciting about another one like this, where you've got a group that basically help everybody else, because we've got so many Jedi. Everybody can't have magical powers, man. So let's see some people that are doing the real work.
Do you think that they could make a movie adaptation of the story from The Force Unleashed, which, not to bring up another video game, but I always thought that story was really cool, which, if you're not familiar, is a story of a Vader having an apprentice that he was using to and it was all while the Death Star was in there. And that story was awesome in terms of you actually saw the innards of the Death Star. Like, you actually got to see the inner workings of how the firing mechanism worked. And mm-hmm. that would be a cool story.
Yeah, that could be cool. Mm-hmm. That could be cool.
It was a cool video game.
Absolutely.
It really was.
There's so many different ways they can go, and I think they're going to go a bunch of them. So we'll see what they're going. I just really hope they bring the damn da-da back because, okay, you tried it without it. It didn't work. So as far as I'm concerned, so I need my da-da. Is it dun-da or da-da? I don't know how that works.
Da-da.
Yeah, there you go. I need that.
Da-da.
See, instantly, if you would have done that at the beginning of the podcast, I would have felt more in the Star Wars moment than I did in the movie.
Yeah. It surprises me how that's not bothering so many people. Like, so many people are just like, it's okay. I didn't miss it that much.
It's not bothering me. I'll tell you that. It doesn't bother me.
Mm. Well, we can't all be right. That's the way I look at it. So,
I know, right?
Exactly. Right? Right? Right. All right, guys. I think it's time to wrap this up, this Star Wars episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I think we've been fairly even keel and respectful of all of our opinions, you know, loving and, yep, and loathing. So
none of us really got hyperbolic about the whole thing. So I think that that's awesome.
High fives all around.
Well, and I want to be clear. I mean, as much as I'm dogging on this movie, I still really enjoyed it. It just didn't blow me away. So like I feel like people are going to hear me talk about this.
You don't understand. If you don't grab ankles, it's not worth it.
Exactly. So I'm just going to, you know what? This is the best movie of the entire decade. So let's just go with that. That seems to be what I'm supposed to say. So you're welcome. Either way, it's an enjoyable movie. Regardless, it is an enjoyable movie. It's a different tone. It's a different kind of Star Wars movie. I hope everybody enjoys it. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Please make sure to subscribe. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find reviews, and also you'll find John's review of Rogue One. And we'll try to do more of these reactions as the big movies come out throughout the next year. Hope you guys enjoyed this one, though. Anything you guys want to say in parting, Scott?
If you hear me talk, reference a couple of video games here. If you guys do like video games, be sure to check out my podcast called The Gaming Outsider, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and all those apps. We've also got a website at thegamingoutsider.com. Come check us out.
I don't have a lot except for, if you want to follow some cool artwork, occasionally you might see me draw something Star Wars related. You can catch me on Instagram at rjohn.draws on Instagram, as well as my Facebook art page, which is facebook.com/rjohndraws. And besides that, I have to say I have a bad feeling. Shut up.
You can also find me at Remake This Movie Right. That's Remake This Movie Right is a podcast that I do basically where we take a movie and we remake it. We just wrapped up our second season. Season 3 is coming soon, but there's a lot of episodes. If you've never listened to it, it's a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And also Beyond Westworld, if you're a Westworld fan, The Blacklist Exposed, if you're a Blacklist fan, and The Hollywood Outsider are what I do. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. And remember, the next time you go to the theater to see Rogue One again, buy popcorn.
But hang on to it. Might get stolen.
Exactly. May the force be with you. I forgot.
Or just follow Scotty's wife around and take hers.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to the theater with you and your wife every time. It's going to save me like $100.